otherworldlyculture.com. You want a date.com.
An umpire and a vampire square off week after week, reviewing movies outside their own strike zone. This week's movies, the 1990 Frankenhooker, ooh, and the 1972's Kansas City Bomber, starring Raquel Welch, Patty Mullen, Kevin McCarthy, James Lorenz, Louise Lasser, Jenna Cooper, and a bunch of real-life hookers and roller derbyers. Now two guys who would like to agree with each other, but then they'd both be wrong. Tim Kretschmann and Jeff Miller.
How does that work?
Think about it.
How does that work?
Think about it.
How does that work in Jeff world?
It works in Jeff's world, of course.
Oh, okay.
In other worlds, it doesn't. Otherworldly culture, it might.
Yeah. Everybody, welcome to Dead on the Bases.
Yes, welcome.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jeff.
I'm the vamp.
I'm the ump.
I'm a sports fan.
No, you're not.
Sure I am. I watch All Star Wrestling.
Yeah, no. Tim loves horror. I love sports. And then so we flip-flop because I got to watch a horror movie. He's got to watch a sports movie.
Folks, I have to tell you something because a lot of you don't know this. Jeff is the actual originator of the designated hitter rule in the major leagues. He suggested it one day to the commissioner at the time, stating that pitchers can't hit anyway.
That's not true.
Hey, I have it right here. It's on the internet.
But I wasn't even born yet.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, that's right. I was
alive. Yes, and pitchers can hit. Actually, pitchers are pretty decent at hitting.
Really? Did you insult one and they swatted you? Or
no.
Hey, tonight, everybody. Tonight, Jeff is so lucky he got to watch Frankenhooker. I think this is the first time you got to see it, right?
Yeah.
This was the first time.
Yeah.
And Jeff, what did you assign me?
Kansas City Bomber with Raquel Welch.
I want to explain something to everybody. It is not Bay City Bomber, which I have said almost exclusively since I've been assigned this movie. I like Bay City Bomber. But the Bay City Rollers,
right,
they were great.
But that could be the team because they're on roller skates. They could be the Bay City Rollers.
I think that's why the connection keeps happening.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Were you a big Bay City Rollers fan? I want to explain
something. Some people have said, oh, Tim was so mean. The movie last week, Tim was just being so mean to Jeff's movie. First of all, just so you all know,
everybody said that.
I'm the one that was taking the pain by watching that film. And
Tim,
it hasn't ended yet. Anyway.
There's residuals on this or what?
Oh my God. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the Bay City Rollers.
Nope.
Or Kansas City Bombers.
Oh, so you're off of last week. You're good. Last week's in the past. You're not going to use that against me this week.
I'm not holding it against you.
Let's roll.
Let's take a look at
Kansas City. Don't swear, Tim, please.
Okay. I'm going to keep a civil tongue in my mouth because I have to make up for all the horrible things that you say sometimes.
I don't. If you've noticed, I've really curbed that back.
Have you?
We had one show that was bad, and then I think I've curbed it back since then.
Okay. Well, you're fantastic. How did you get in my frame again? Look at that. You keep sneaking in my frame.
I'm right here. I haven't moved.
There. I'm going to put Raquel Welch over you. That'll be an improvement.
Number
on
11.
That side.
Damn, I'm going to take number 11 this year.
I think out of 10, she would rank in 11. Okay. Kansas City Bomber, 1972. Raquel Welch pretty well at the peak of her prowess as being completely gorgeous.
Yes.
Just unreal gorgeous.
Yes.
It seems like a bit of a vanity project. And by that I mean this is a movie that she made and it's all about her. You know, the whole story is all about her. I believe she brought this to the producers, and really, she just wanted to do this. Now, this is about the roller derby, and I don't know if you know this. I know a lot about the roller
derby. So do I.
Right. The thing I didn't understand is why there were no motorcycles, though.
That's Rollerball.
Oh!
That's the James Caan movie.
Now, here's the thing that got me. Did you notice they never said roller derby throughout the film?
I didn't notice that, but I believe that they... I believe you. I didn't notice
that. They said roller games.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And what's interesting about that to me is back in the early 90s, mm-hmm. I watched a TV show called Roller Games, which was kind of an answer... The rock and wrestling connection had stopped, and they're like, hey, people like wrestling on TV. Won't they like roller derby on television? And I'm not making this up. The chat room will bear me out because I know my brother watched this with me. In roller games, they had the roller derby, and they had like a figure eight
track.
And if you took the figure eight, there was like a wall that almost went at a 90-degree angle at one spot. And in the middle of that end of the eight, there was an alligator, a live alligator.
Get out of here. That's...
A live alligator.
Yeah, okay.
This exists. I will show you the video afterwards on YouTube.
Yeah, I think Patty Mull is calling
amazing.
Again.
It's amazing. Now... They put an alligator in there. They only lasted, I think, 2 seasons, if I remember correctly.
Are you serious about this?
I am absolutely serious about it.
All right.
And everybody was playing, like, cartoon versions. You know, everybody was a Hulk Hogan or Iron Sheik type of roller derby player. It was a lot of fun. Here's why I bring it up.
Okay.
I watched that show, so I know the rules of roller derby.
The rules, because there's rules.
Well, there are rules.
I know, but...
There's basically, one guy puts on a helmet, and if they can pass everybody, that's how they
get points. They're the jammer.
Right. Here's the thing, Jeff.
What, Tim?
This movie is about an obscure sport, correct?
It is.
They don't explain the sport ever in the whole movie.
Tim, they do in the very beginning. When they're talking... We'll roll it back. You want to roll back tape? In the very beginning, I noticed that they did that because I'm like, they got to tell people how this works.
They made mentions of it.
They
didn't really and say, hey, everybody, this is the rules of this game. There's an set of rules.
They explained what she had to do that first game that she was in.
They explained
so that you kind of knew what she had to do. So maybe
I'm going to say because I knew the rules, I kind of followed it. I think if you go in fresh, you are not being helped by this movie.
Okay, all right.
I don't think they did a good job of laying out what this sport even is. Here's the other thing. You got Raquel Welch, right? And you've been watching the pictures, the publicity photos and stuff up there in frames of the thing.
Yeah.
The publicity photos, she has a very deep diving, cleavage-bearing... zipper position.
Yes.
During the movie, that don't happen.
No kidding.
She is in downright baggy clothes
from time to time.
For the most part, they kind of kept it tight, but for the most part, it's like, okay, you got Raquel Welch and you're dressing her up like, anybody.
I didn't get that.
I thought the producers, frankly, should have been hit very hard with a brick. I mean, my God, what are you doing? They had a shower scene. You saw nothing.
Nope.
They didn't show her in bra and panties, Jaden. I'm like, why did you hire Raquel? Now, a great part of the movie is the boss in the movie is played by Kevin McCarthy. And he begins here. This is, I think, the first time where he was playing one of those ruthless business types that he really did a lot of with UHF and Innerspace. And he is playing his usual part. The thing is, he's still playing it serious at this time, which later in his career, he kind of made a mockery of. And it was fun that way. Okay. Yes, and I'm seeing in the chat room, Roller Games also had a pinball machine. That came out. It says, and you would go up the wall and try not to get in the alligator pit. Anyway, I was hoping throughout this movie, I was like, I hope this movie ends like Slapshot and not Rollerball. And by that, I mean there's a strip sequence at the end of Slapshot where he takes off his clothes. Yes. I'm like, I would love for her to show up to everybody by doing that. Unfortunately, it's more like Rollerball, where it's kind of a, I think, an unsatisfying type of ending. I don't know how you felt about it, but I was kind of like, did anybody really win? And that's the thing with this movie. Everybody would have won had she stripped. Everyone. Anyway. I think this movie could have been retitled, and it would have helped. Not Bay City Roller, though I still think, yeah, that'd be great.
No.
But Sexual Harassment the Movie would be pretty good.
That would be pretty close.
Honestly, Kevin McCarthy is scamming on her from the beginning. And then, okay, I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
This movie has a sequence. I am not making this garbage up. There is a sequence of a near rape right at the beginning. But no murders.
No murder.
No murders. But I was like, they're really going there. Because she and her roommate at the time are going to the car.
Yep.
And these two guys come out. Hey, can you sign this for us? And then they try to drag them into their car. And they, you know, being roller babes, they knock them out.
Of course they did.
Run away. Jeff, I wasn't sure if you actually selected this movie because at no point there were no drug issues.
Stop with
that. Perhaps alcoholism, because one of the ladies gets so drunk.
Stop with this.
She probably went to the local or something, and she...
Local's awesome.
She's so blackout drunk, she decides, maybe I should step in front of a railroad, in front of a rushing train. Here's my thing. Now, one of the characters in the movie is kind of the slow guy, horrible Hank Hopkins. He's got to be semi-retarded or mildly retarded type of character. He brings a lot of heart to the film. But even that, I was kind of like, I can't find myself rooting for anybody, even Raquel.
Really?
I was like, I don't like anybody I'm watching up on screen. Even Raquel. I like Raquel Welch in so many things. I do think she's possibly the most beautiful woman ever captured on film. But I was like, she doesn't hit me as particularly smart. She isn't particularly interesting. I just didn't get it. So, one thing I need to make sure we do.
How do you feel about the child thing? Like, she's a single mom. She's got Jodie Foster.
Did she seem to care about her children?
Well, that's why she had to keep on skating. She had to keep on skating.
I didn't think she cared about her kids. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
A little suspect.
What do you think of Jodie Foster's performance?
Oh, that 3 minutes?
Yeah. Hey, they've given away Oscars for less time.
Yes, they have. I thought she was fine playing a kid that reads a line. So, watching that, did you go, wow, she's a brilliant actress?
I did. I'm like, she's going to be doing Silence of the Lambs someday.
I bet. Okay, hey, folks, it's your favorite part. It's Horror Movie Connections.
Yes, my favorite part.
Yeah, I know. Okay, what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to, what we're going to do is over or under 5% of the movies they made are horror, okay?
So you're going to ask me?
I'm going to ask
then
you.
I can't look at your screen, though.
It's okay.
No, I don't want to.
The first one, you're not going to see it. First one is Raquel Welch.
Yeah.
Over or under 5%.
For what?
Horror films. In her entire
She wasn't
list.
In any of them.
She was zero. In
Under.
Zero.
Under.
That's what we call a loser. All right.
I don't think anybody's ever called Raquel Welch a loser in her life.
Well, now she has. What about Kevin McCarthy?
He looks like I'm looking at it over here. He looks like a horror guy. I'll still say under 5%.
Under 5%. You would be wrong. He's actually, if you remember, he's a Hall of Famer. Do you remember? As a young man, that's a picture of him as a young man. He made Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yes, I saw that movie.
He also is a two-timer. He also was in the movie The Howling, where he
really?
Was in the Hall of Fame. He was one of the campers there at the camp.
Really?
Yes,
wow,
indeed.
What could you learn?
Actually, no, he was the TV producer of the, because Dee Wallace was a newscaster.
Dee Wallace was in that too?
In The Howling?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at what you learned on this show.
He also was in a UHF, Interspace. He did Twilight Zone, the movie, and an upcoming movie for Jeff in future seasons, Piranha. So okay. That's coming. I know you're excited about that one.
Yeah, it's mini Jaws.
So this one is Helena Kalianotis.
Yep.
She again. What percentage? I mean, is she above 5% or under?
I'm gonna say under, but I think she's done some horror.
She has done some horror, but she's at 6%.
Really?
The reason is she's made 15 movies. Okay, like 15. Kevin McCarthy made 200 movies. 20 of them were
all right.
Horror. She made one horror film called Shanks, which is best known as the movie with Marcel Marceau, the famous mime.
Get out of here.
And he reanimates dead bodies to use them as puppets with a remote control. I am not making this up. It's real. I've watched the movie and I...
Wow.
I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm not going to subject you to that one.
Good, thank you.
Number four is our friend Norman Alden. He, of course, was in Electro Woman and Dyna Girl.
Yes, he was.
He was.
Now looking at him, yes.
Yeah.
He's been in some horror movies too, but I'm going to say it's going to be... 5% is not that much. I'm going to say it's over 5%.
It's under, but
really?
The real reason is he's made 256 films, five of which are horror. He is, believe it or not.
No way. Don't say it.
He's a Hall of Famer.
With what?
They Live. He was in the movie They Live.
Get out of here.
He's like some security guy or something.
But it was in color.
Yeah. Well, as time went on, he became older, but he was still mobile.
Well, why do they put that in black and white then? That throws me off.
Yeah, that's stupid. All right.
That does.
Next, we have Jodie Foster.
Well, I know Jodie. Jodie.
Yeah.
JF. Sense of Land.
But 5%. She's made 82 movies. I'll give
you
that.
So 5%. I don't even know what 5% that is. So I'm going to have to say...
It would only be four.
Okay, four movies
on
then.
82.
Wow, you're good at math.
I have a chat room helping me.
I'm gonna say yes, over 5%. She did five movies, I bet.
She did not. She made two.
Oh, that.
But she is a Hall of Famer for Bad News Bears and Silence of the Lambs. She's one of the rare ones that was on both sides, sports and horror, in our Hall of Fame.
What was she in for horror?
Horror was Silence of the Lambs and Little Girl Down the Lane, which is an excellent movie. I might give that to you if you're a very good little boy. All right. Next one we had is Jeannie Cooper. She was kind of like the marm of all the girls in the locker room.
See, I'm just going by looks. And I mean,
135 movies this woman made.
135, so 5% would be... Like seven, five seven, or seven. Eight. Okay, so I'm going to say under. Under.
Under?
Yeah.
You are correct that regard. She was in the original Twilight Zone and Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
Are you talking Twilight Zone, the movie that people got killed in?
Yes.
Oof.
Well, no, that's true for Kevin McCarthy. This was the original Twilight Zone TV show.
So that counts?
That she was in.
So you count that? I mean, that's not like really a movie. I'm not
what,
trying to be
Twilight
difficult.
Zone?
I'm not trying to
count it as a credit.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
All right. And you don't get any points for these guesses anyway. And seven, Maritime Bartlett. She played the mom to Raquel Welch. Just look at her. You can see the resentment. No, you don't.
No.
But Was she over 5%? She had 48.
Here's what I have to say, because if you could do, you know what? I don't think we should do, because I can't figure that fast. So 48 divided by.
Oh, my God.
So that would be.
All right. We're not going to let you do math ever.
I'm going to say.
I'm trying to make this fun for you.
I know. I'm trying to have fun.
Okay.
But I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and that's going to be no, less than 5%.
And you'd be correct. She was in the original Twilight Zone and Alfred Hitchcock Presents, but in total, out of 48 credits, only 3 of them were horror. So that is our horror movie connection.
Okay.
But you know what else everybody always waits for?
What? Oh.
Yes. Hey! Dead.
Yeah, baby.
That's right, Pauly Shore connection. How close can we get to the old Pauly Shore? Well, Raquel Welch happened to be in the movie Chairman of the Board with Carrot Top. So we connected Carrot Top to Pauly Shore is Dead, which is an actual movie that he made.
Really?
He was trying to revive his career. Didn't work. But he's got a Pauly Shore number of 2.
Has there been anything more than 2? I think 2 is like... You can get to Pauly Shore pretty quick if you're in Hollywood.
If you're anywhere near the 90s, you can, it seems.
Carrot Top, what a waste.
Wow, okay.
So, I'm not a fan of Carrot Top. Just so
okay.
Everybody out there knows, I am not a fan of Carrot Top.
Okay.
Carrot Top.
And, I was doing Pauly there.
And okay. Carrot Top and Craig Council are pretty much the same person.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's... Kansas City Bomber. Could you tell I had to wait and make sure I was saying it right? Kansas City Bomber, it's time for me to rate this film. Here's the thing.
Oh, I got to rate it still. Shoot.
I like the movie.
Oh. Folks, that's a good start. I feel a little bit better right now.
I liked the movie, but not a lot.
Okay, at least you liked it. You didn't say that last week.
I didn't absolutely hate it, but it is boring. I don't know. Did you rewatch this
one? I did.
Signed it to me?
I did.
Yeah. How many times were you on Facebook checking things?
What do you mean? Like checking all?
I'm sitting there and I made this thing. I'm going to watch the movie. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm going to watch the movie, not check
Facebook. He's not going to touch anything.
Well, that I might with Raquel. But, you know, in general, I'm not. This was very hard to make it through.
Really?
I thought so. It's depressing. It's a depressing film. Nobody is a good person, and nothing that happens is particularly heroic. There isn't really a true villain that they're fighting against. It's just kind of like,
But it's a real-life movie. It's real life. Not everything's strawberries and roses. It's all... Life is tough.
I'm going to give it... Even though I said I liked the movie, it's not going to get a very high score. I am going to give it a 4.
Man, I was hoping for a 5. I was.
It was, before I did the review, it was a 3. But as I was going through the review, I'm like, I kind of like it more than I thought. But, and I like all the actors that were in it and all the connections, and that makes it interesting. But as a movie in itself,
okay. So I'm going to ask you
a tough watch.
I'm going to ask you. Ask you a fair question.
It's like a caterpillar or a human centipede.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a fair question and I would like a fair answer.
Okay.
So at my work,
I'm that handsome.
My work, we give out surveys and people come in and talk, and they have a 1 to 10.
They text you sometimes.
They have a 1 to 10, right?
Yeah.
And when they come in, I talk to them. So I'm going to ask you this, Tim.
Okay.
Why are you at a 4, and what would have made it higher?
Okay. I'm at a 4 because the movie was dull.
Okay, but what would have made got it to a 7?
What would have got it to a 7? Well, first of all, that shower scene would have helped a great deal. But really, making an actual villain and having an actual, struggle that was going on that wasn't an existential crisis of identity.
Okay.
Something more visceral. Frankly, the scenes of the actual roller derby, kind of boring. They did have lots of crowd scenes. What a glamorous bunch that is.
How did you like Big Bertha?
Big Bertha, I had to look her up to check if I thought she must have been a female wrestler or something. But no. But anyway, we got to get moving, man.
But see, the reason why I asked this is because now I can gear my other movies.
Okay, yeah.
I got to do something, right?
You do need to do something because you keep giving me stuff like this.
Time.
It's
going to
be tough.
Sports time.
It is going to be tough to win.
So, going to cut in on
here
sports.
We go. All right. Tell me about what the sports are here on the other world. Could you stop looking at your phone and do the show?
Yeah, okay. Because I want to see something. All right, we're off. Dead on the Bases sports. Hey, no, wait. Oh, yeah, I'm Jeff Miller.
You are Jeff Miller.
And this is all the sports that I know right now as of today. Oh, my God. Here we go. A couple quick things. The Brewers, our team, our great team.
That's not the Brewers.
They got postponed today. It rained out in New York. So opening day will be tomorrow. Freddie Peralta will take the mound. But a couple little nuggets about that. The Brewers this year, they're going to have 21 guys on their roster. 46% of these guys have never played in an opening day, a major league ball game.
Hold it. Did you just use a statistic?
I did.
It's like Moneyball in here.
The Baltimore Orioles won the very first regular opening day game. I'm not really counting those ones in Korea. So the very first mainland 2024 season of the year, the Orioles won. And our former pitcher Corbin Burton threw a one-hitter. This year is the first year in 47 years that there will not be an active player with 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, or 300 wins on the mound. Wow. Tonight also is the round of 16 for the NCAA tournament. Marquette is still involved. They play tomorrow night, so we'll see how they do.
In Dallas.
Yeah. Wow. Tim! Wait, when I did percentages? You got a sports area right?
First of all,
wow.
I'm always right. Susie Snowflake called in special to tell me how right I always am. I know that because one of my coworkers is flying down to Dallas as we speak.
Well, they're going to be disappointed because Marquette's going to lose. And then the Bucks lost the other night to the Lakers, which was also very disappointing. But, you know, it is March, and the real season doesn't start until June.
And the Bucks disappointing people is kind of their jam.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else. That's all the sports I know. I'm Jeff Miller. That's it.
You sure are. And that means we are now going into our next phase of excellence.
I love March Madness. Yay!
It's time to talk about merch, which everybody loves. And I happen to know we have people in the chat room that have bought some of our merch.
I just got new merch. Did I tell you that?
Oh, God.
I did. I went and picked it up the other day.
Okay.
New merch, people.
All right. And you know where you can get it?
I do. We'll return you to the regularly scheduled program in just a moment.
But first,
let's make some merch money.
That's you.
I'm thinking about getting coasters, and I'm thinking about getting tumblers, like Yetis. I don't know, man. I think we got a market going. I don't know.
I like it.
Open it up, Muskego style.
Yes. Oh. Yes. The treat. Go with the treat.
Jeff and I visited the longest running Arthur Treacher, or the last
freestanding.
Freestanding Arthur Treachers on our trip to Horror Realm.
It's in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
And I know the date is not correct on the banner. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness.
But we have only 343 days until the next Horror Realm.
But is that legit or is that based on those dates?
No, that number is legit.
343.
But I do need to get a new one, but Michelle is being lazy and not sending me a new banner.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll call her out.
You should.
Yeah.
You think she's watching?
No, because I'm still alive. She was watching. I'd be dead.
We went to the Treach. That was fun.
It was fun.
That was fun. It wasn't, you know what? The food was just okay. I wasn't really overly impressed.
We have fish fries in Milwaukee every time somebody farts in New Berlin.
But you know what? It wasn't, I had to wait for my food. I was not very impressed. But then they brought, I'll bring the keychain next week.
You weren't impressed?
What about the keychain? I'm bringing the keychain next week. Okay. So do I have notes? No. I have it all in my head. Let's go.
Yeah, you got something in your head, and it frightens all of us.
Wow.
Here he is. He's America's sweetheart. He's Jeff Miller. You can reach him at jeff@otherworldlyculture.com, like millions of people have before you.
Where is it? Like there that? It is. There it is. There it is. I had to open up more Gmail space for that.
Oh, my God. I did. Tell us about Frankenhooker.
Okay, Tim. So Frankenhooker. So Tim is supposed to give me horror movies. This week he gave me a rom-com. Basically what this is, this is a romantic comedy.
I'm not going to argue with
that. Okay, thank you. It was brought out in 1990. It's rated R. It's 125 minutes long, so you know what? It's actually in that real good sweet spot, and I can't complain. The movie moved along at a good pace. Now, here's a couple things, and I know what everybody's thinking already. Tim's thinking this. Stefan, Susie Snowflake, they're all thinking this.
Sean. Sean's really thinking.
He's going to spoil it. Yeah. There is no way possible I can spoil this movie. There you go. So, what this movie is all about, so the cool thing is it's got Patty Mullen in it. And if you don't know, Patty Mullen was Penthouse Pet. She was Penthouse Pet in August of 1986, and then she was Penthouse Pet of the Year in 1988. And then they're like, you know what? We're doing a movie about a hooker. We're doing a movie with boobs. So let's get the Penthouse Pet to do it. And I got to say, this movie, I really enjoyed her performance. And the thing of it is that the beginning of her performance where she's a regular person, whatever.
A regular human being.
Whatever.
Pre-death.
But after 54 minutes when she becomes alive again as Frankenhooker, you know what, Tim?
Frankenhooker.
I don't know how to say this the right way, but I'm going to say what I'm going to think. Uh-huh. And what it is that she does these facial expressions and the way she speaks, it's actually genius. If they could give it an award for this, they would have given it to her. She does a fantastic job in the little bit that she speaks. She says, "You want a date? You want a date? You got money? Hey, there's Jeffrey."
And then, wait a minute. I wasn't looking. Was that you?
That was me.
I was using
my vocal cords.
I thought maybe she was in the room with us.
But you know what? As much as, I mean, she has 4 credits and she does this, that, and the other thing. But she really does a good job in this movie. I think she, for the amount of time that she's on the screen talking.
Which is limited.
It's limited, but it's fantastic, Tim. Her facial expressions, it's not like she's even acting. It's like she just, her mouth moves or she turns her head. I just thought it all was very cohesive. It just flowed.
When I introduced myself to her and said, I'm going to be doing the panel.
Yeah.
She said, please don't ask me to do the
face?
The mouth thing.
Yeah.
Because that's all she, every fan wants
but to do the mouth. But thing. It's so good. I don't even know why. I mean, it probably sounds very like.
It works for this character.
It works for this character. It works for her.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple things that I need some clarity on.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Jeff.
You're going to have me explain Frankenhooker. Okay, it's a fiction film.
But I'm not asking that.
Okay.
So what's the reasoning?
Just so you know, it's not a true story.
What is the reasoning for the main character, James Lorenz.
Jeffrey.
Who plays Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Franken.
By the way, I was surprised that was the guy's name was Jeff when I was watching the movie. But anyways, I don't get the thing with the drill in the head.
The drill in the head?
He would have died.
Yeah. Yeah. But you did believe that he was able to paste together a bunch of hookers.
Well, wait a second. But I got to get past that first. How did he do that?
He didn't actually perform surgery on
himself. What were they trying to like say that he was able to tap into a different part of his brain that made him smarter?
That was what they were intimating. It's obviously not true. And all of you that are Jeff fans out there, please...
Me fans?
Do not... There's a lot of Jeff fans out there.
All right.
I'm telling you, don't try this at home. Do not put a drill directly into your head. That's why you have brothers and sisters.
I think he
the
put,
more you know.
I think when he did it, he put it was behind his head because you couldn't really see the camera angle. I think it was behind his head. So I don't think he really even stunted it. I don't think.
I thought they had a retractable, but it really doesn't matter. So, what's important is that all the kiddies know, don't put an actual drill into your head.
So this is what happens.
There's that one kid in the lunch line. He looks like a prospect.
The one that eats the glue.
Right.
So here's the thing. So, all right. So here's how the movie opens. And this is another thing I liked about this movie. I like the fact that the movie started.
There was a beginning, a middle, and an end.
The movie started, Tim. And then the tragedy happened. And then they went to the whole, like, intro stuff. Like, they had the opening credits. I like that in a movie. Because...
Hold on. We just got this in the chat room. Trepanation. Ancient cavemen did it to release demons in their brains. That's what the drilling was about.
Well, good.
It's called trepanation.
Well, see what you learn on this show.
So, trepanate a friend. They need it.
Maybe they should have a movie called The Trepanator.
The Jeffinator to Trepanator.
Okay, so back to the movie.
Back to the movie.
If you want to get my grading on this, you're going to have to listen.
Okay.
All right. So I do like the very beginning. So, Tim, I like the fact that there was movie credits and then movie again. That was kind of cool. Tim, that's kind of cool because it you get right to the movie. It's like there's TV shows that do that too. Like they go right into the show and then they go to the credits, which I like. I think Seinfeld does that. But anyways, so in the beginning of the movie, they put some padding in Patty Mullen's outfit so she looks fat. And then she gets run over by a lawnmower, and then that's what happens. Then
that's
Jeff,
probably the least believable effect in the whole movie.
I know. So then her boyfriend, Jeffrey Lorenz, which I found kind of funny that he talks to himself during the whole movie. He's talking out loud because I guess...
His name is Jeffrey Franken is the character.
Yes.
James Lorenz
yes.
is the actor.
Right.
Okay.
But the director is Frank Henelotter, which I was thinking that's how they got the name Frankenhooker, but they didn't because his name is Jeffrey Hooker. No, Jeffrey Franken, and he goes after these hookers. But anyway, so now he...
You know the connection, though, right?
Of what?
It's Frankenstein.
Yeah, no, but it's okay. Frankenhooker, but I get this. But that was okay. Another thing, Tim, and I know this is fiction, but come on.
Are you
how
sure?
How is he going to get the thing, the surgery... panel all the way that high. How was he doing that?
That would be called a pulley.
No, that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
That was the most ridiculous
thing.
That
was ridiculous.
So here, let's get back to the movie. So,
but exploding the hookers and riding.
We got to talk about the exploding hookers.
Exploding when you have sex with Patty.
Well, I got to talk about
this. That might happen.
Tim, I don't understand that. So let me get to that. No, okay. Hold on. So here's the thing. So he's going to go look for hookers, right? And he leaves his house.
Of course he is. He's a man.
Because he wants
in Jersey.
He wants the perfect body for his girl. By the way, that head that he keeps pulling out of the thing doesn't look very real. They could have done a better job. That looked like a mannequin head.
Okay, keep going, Jeff.
But am I right?
It is a there. I said that the worst effect was at the beginning of the movie. That's not true. There's bad effects throughout.
And when they pulls the head out of the thing, the hair's not wet. I don't get that either. I mean, the hair would be wet, but the hair wasn't wet. So anyways, so he goes from his town, and I have it on my phone, but I'm not going to open my phone. It's called like Ho-Ho Cam or something. He lives there. It's 43 minutes to Times Square. So he's like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to get me some hookers, and I'm going to build the perfect body. But here's the thing. He meets Zorro, and he gets drugs. He gets
all through the night.
He gets crack. It's funny because it's right around the time that crack got big. So he gets crack, right?
Right.
But that's where I got confused.
He went to New Berlin.
He comes home, and he fiddles with the crack.
He fiddles with the crack.
Right.
Go ahead.
But then he goes back and he gives a crack to the hookers. Well, no, they steal the crack.
Well, they do have cracks.
They do. And then, can I say that the bodies explode?
I did.
Okay. So these girls, they take crack, their bodies explode.
Oh, my God. Spoiler.
Nope. No, no, no. Because the spoiler at the end is not even anything that you're going to think of unless you saw Hangover 3. But so what we're going to do is we're going to say that this movie has a lot to do with, it's a lot like Romeo and Juliet as well. When at the end you think something's going to happen, but it doesn't really happen. Just like in Romeo and Juliet, Juliet is supposed to be dead. Romeo's like, oh my God, he kills himself. And then Juliet's really alive.
Holy mackerel, you're just quoting Shakespeare.
You're getting here. yeah. Miss Joan Foss like class, freshman year, Mosquito High School. Joan Foss,
yep.
Yep. So anyways, all this stuff goes down. He wants to create the perfect woman. He does, Frankenstein-wise, Frankenhooker. So she's purple. She's got purple breasts.
Purple.
Why'd they make her purple?
Because they were out of green. I think that's what it was. They just didn't want to use green for Frankenstein. That doesn't look very attractive. She looked good in purple.
And then what happened, right? And then what happened is her head came off. She looked real good. And then when they bring her back, she actually gets the bolts like the actual Frankenstein does. So they did that.
Yeah, they got to tighten the bolts to keep the head on.
To keep her going. But yeah. I thought it was something else that when he originally made her.
Very important with a hooker that she has a good head.
When they originally made her, she was quoting all the things that the other hooker said.
Yes.
But when she had a malfunction and he refixed her, then she was Elizabeth again, which was unique.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that coming. That was a plot twist. Now,
okay.
All right. Then Zorro comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the whole Romeo and Juliet thing. So I don't want to tell anymore. I don't want to ruin anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I found this to be a very fun movie. Bill Murray, this is one of Bill Murray's favorite movies. He loves this movie. And I can say that I really like this movie. This is right up my alley. This is right in my wheelhouse with my age, when I was watching movies, this time frame of my life. It has Patty Mullen in there. I mean, she looked cool. And I really like how she played the part. This was a Jeff movie. This was a movie that I could really like. But it wasn't that scary, so that's probably why either.
Now, it was 1990, right?
1990.
You know who was big in the 90s?
Who? Pauly Shore. I can tell you right now, this is going to be a one. Somehow this is a one. He was in a movie with somebody in here, I'll bet you.
Actually, it is not a one.
Really?
It is a three.
Really?
Because Patty Mullen was not in a lot of movies, as you mentioned. So, she has connected Frankenhooker to John Zacherle. That's the guy that plays the horror host on the TV screen shot.
Wow, you're
they
digging
were in,
too.
That's
Independent.
Independent. That connects to Brink Stevens. Brink Stevens made a lot of exploitation films. So, of course, she was in Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, which, of course, is a Pauly Shore movie. And I actually like Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge. But, yeah, there is a connection, but I had to work. The thing that would have been lazy is if I would have taken Patty Mullen and through Doom Asylum, connected her to Kirsten Davis.
Okay.
Who, she's been in a lot of stuff, and then it's pretty quick. I decided, no, I want a connection through Frankenhooker to it. And I felt like Louise Lasser was a little too easy as well. So
she
I really went.
She it. Was in, what television show was she in?
Mary Hartman,
Yes,
Hartman.
Thank you.
Guess what, do you know what character she played? Mary Hartman.
I was going to say that, but I wasn't sure. I did like Tim. I don't even know why. And I mean, I think because it wasn't actually a horror movie. It was more of a rom-com.
It's more of a comedy. And a lot of people debate if it's even
dark.
A horror movie. It's gory. It's gory.
I don't know about
How many exploding hookers do you need to call it a gory
because
movie?
Because gore is different to me. Gore is like what happened in The Collector. That was more gorish. This, I think, was more like
cartoon violence.
Kind of, because no hooker's going to explode. And then the thing of it is that the scariest part...
Wait a minute. Is this personal experience?
No.
Okay,
no.
Just checking.
But I would say that the...
Because I got Deb on speed dial.
The exploding hooker wasn't even that scary. I think the most treacherous
wasn't
part...
Wasn't that scary?
The most treacherous part...
Jeff's like, bring on the exploding hookers.
The most treacherous part was when Zorro came by and he gets abducted by the hooker parts. I think that was more tense than anything. Anyways, I did like this movie a lot, and it's not because there were breasts. Of course, there were breasts, and that was always good.
There was quantity.
I know.
Not necessarily quality, but there was quantity.
That's something that they actually got hookers, real-life hookers, to play this.
Oh, come on.
They did. They did. Okay. They couldn't.
That is true.
It is true. Isn't that something, though? All right.
Well, who else are you going to get?
What?
He wasn't actually looking for acting ability. He was looking for, are you willing to take your clothes off?
Right. But at first, he got some people from that, but they didn't want to take their clothes off. So he's like, screw it. I'll get some hookers.
I'll get people that actually want to take their clothes off.
And they all have a card now. They all have an ASCAP card or whatever. Not ASCAP. What is it called?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, MMPA or something like that. Anyways, so Patty Mullen and Frankenhooker did all right on my end.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess?
Give me a score. Okay, I'm going to guess it's like in the 7-8 range.
It's going to be an 8.
8, all right.
It's going to be an 8.
But so you like this one as much as Reanimator? Because you gave Reanimator.
I know. If I could give a 0.5, I would. I like this one better. I like this one better than Reanimator.
Really? Okay.
I just did. I don't even know why. Yeah. I just did.
It's not a movie you brag about that you love.
No, but Patty Mullen did a really good job in this.
She
the
is
The little
fun.
Bit that she's in here, she makes it fun.
If I had any complaint about this movie is that it is 2 hours long and like 90% of it is Jeffrey speaking to himself in the most incredible Jersey accent of all time.
Yeah.
But as you know, you met Patty out at Horror Realm. That Jersey accent is not put on. She has a Jersey accent. And in Doom Asylum, she also has a Jersey accent. And I also feel that she does a good job acting in Doom Asylum. So the movies I've seen her in, she does well. She just hasn't made that many.
I wish I would have seen this before we went out there because I would have struck up a conversation with her about this.
You did, in the elevator.
Yeah, I said, it says, oh, you're Frankenhooker. She goes, that's right. That was about it.
That is an incredible story.
Oh, you're Frankenhooker.
All right.
So, because I didn't know her name at the time. I did, but I didn't, you know.
You didn't want to say it wrong and then... It would be a problem.
Right.
You knew you could pronounce
it. I would not want to say, I didn't want to say someone's name wrong, which I've been known to do in the past.
Never. Never. Well, thanks, Jeff. That was a great review.
Did you think I was going to give you that kind of a review?
This was much better than last week's review. It really was.
Well, no, but did you think I was going to give you this kind of a number?
I thought you were either going to really like it or go, this is dumb. It doesn't make any sense. So I wasn't quite sure. Because it isn't the most realistic film, and we know you get angry when things aren't realistic.
I know, but I think she did it for me.
Okay.
Had it been someone else, maybe it wouldn't have been. Her acting in this, the little bit that she did, actually made me like this.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah. There's a reason it's iconic, and it's her.
Yeah, it's got to be her.
It isn't like great directing or anything.
No.
Look at the other performances in the film, like Zorro. I'm a little bit over the top. All right. Well, guess what, Jeff?
What, Tim?
It's that time of the show that you love. Ugh. It's time for trivia. Here's how we do trivia, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read three statements. Jeff's going to read three statements. Each of us are going to guess. Two of the statements that we read are true, and one is false. So that's what we're going to do. That's called trivia here on Dead on the Bases. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go
first? I'll ask you first.
Okay, and then I'll get my 5 points. And then we'll move on from there.
All right. I put extra questions in here because I didn't know what you were going to tip on.
Okay.
Let's see.
All right. Here, I'll practice. Okay.
All right, here we go. You ready, buddy? Here we go.
I'm a born ready.
One of Welch's first jobs was a weather person on TV. Raquel Welch and Patty Mullen actually have the same bra size, 36C. Barry Sander, who wrote Kansas City Bomber as a thesis paper for the UCLA, later wrote the 2003 horror movie, Evil Never Dies. So does Patty Mullen and Raquel Welch have the same bra size? Did Barry Sander, who wrote this for UCLA, wrote the 2003 horror movie, Evil Never Dies? And was Raquel Welch one of her first jobs, a weather person on TV?
Okay, I'm going to say the last one is true for one reason. Too much detail. I'm thinking you didn't look up that Evil Never Dies in 2003, and I'm pretty sure that was around 2003. So that leads me to the weather person and the bra size. You know, honestly, I would like to find out. Why don't we bring them in here and we can check these out?
Raquel has passed away.
Oh, that's right. Well, that doesn't really stop Jeff.
Tim.
That doesn't stop Jeff Franken. We could just hook up some wires out there and have a great time. You know, I feel like she probably did do weather. I because that is something where they used to hire beautiful women to do weather. Man, I'm going to go with the bra size one because I just want to, and you might think I'd be too embarrassed to choose it. So I'm going to say the bra size is false.
And I got to see if you're right or not. The bra size is false.
So I got it right.
Raquel Welch has a 34 Zebra. Patty Mullen has a 36 Zebra.
Wow. I do think that requires more review, and I'll make sure I do that.
Damn.
Okay.
I thought I'd get you on that one.
Well, we're going to see how I do trying to fool you, and I'm not confident in this bunch of trivia, and you chanced upon one of my trivias, so that sucks. Okay.
2 weeks in a row you got it right. Damn.
We're going to go with this. This movie played in theaters only 1 week before being pulled. That's number one.
Which movie are you talking about?
Frankenhooker.
Okay.
Number two. Star Patty Mullen once judged a wrestling match and voted for Ric Flair. Woo!
She voted for him?
She voted for Ric Flair. And the third is Louise Lasser was a past wife of Woody Allen.
What would that have
Mary
to do?
Hartman.
Oh, I was going to say, what does that have to do?
That was Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Yes. The show is 1 hour.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit of time here.
Yeah, we're...
All right, let's just think. Mary, okay, so...
I thought a couple hours ago, I'm done.
So, what I'm going to say is what I'm going to think.
Okay.
And what it's going to be is, it was pulled after 1 week. Yeah, that's going to be true. She voted for Ric Flair. Yeah, that's going to be true. Woody Allen, I think, was only married to one other person, and then that kid that he adopted. So, I'm going to say the third one is the false one. The one about being married to Mary Hartman. Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm going with it. Go.
You're going with
it. Yep, let's go.
You're sure?
Let's go.
I'm giving you every chance to back out.
This is what it's like. This is like cramming the night before a test.
I'm giving you every chance to back out. Are you sure you want to go with that?
Yes.
So you're saying Louise Lasser was never married to Woody Allen.
Right.
Sorry, buddy. She was the first wife, I believe. Sorry. This movie never played in theaters. It went direct to video. It was a direct to VHS.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. So it didn't play in theaters. I think it actually would have done well in theaters. I think this is the type of movie you want to see with an audience that go, "Want a date? Looking for a good time?" What was the other one? "Looking for some action?" I love that. By the way, my emergency one, had you, you know, stumbled on a bunch of these, was at Horror Realm, Patty Mullen sang the song Broadway Melody at karaoke. It wasn't Broadway
Melody. No, it wasn't,
It was Everyone Get Happy, yeah, is what she sang at karaoke. That would have been a deep cut, brother. That would have been a deep, deep cut. So, I don't think Jeff's going to like this right now. But we're going to go to that scoreboard and take a look at it.
26-6.
Yeah, 26-6, brother. That's going to be a rough run here.
That's however, it might be insurmountable.
No, he's got some better movies finally coming. I know that. So I'm a little concerned because some of the movies I picked for him, I don't think he realizes are as scary as they are. And I think I'm going to take it up the ass here with some of these. Oh. I think I'm going to get a beating coming. So I better do well in trivia. That's all I got to say.
But I need trivia, and I'm sucking at it right now.
I don't know why, because I'm even like giving you chances to get out. No,
I don't want that, though. I don't want that get out because I don't trust that. I don't trust that.
I know, that's how I did it.
Damn it, Tim.
I am so mean. This is part of why that email campaign started. Why is Jeff being so mean to Tim? So,
I think you need to go back and see if this is like the biggest lead ever this early on.
I know it is. I know it is.
I know it is. Yeah. I know it is.
I do. Hey, are you going to come back? Are you coming back next Thursday?
You want me to do an impression of you and Craig Council?
Sure.
No, go ahead.
Are you coming back to April 4th for more fun and excitement?
Whoa, April 4th. Wait, whoa. It's a Thursday. I'm good. I'm going opening day on the 2nd. So I'll have a report from opening day.
All right.
You know what? Maybe I'll send you a video and you can put it up here and let people know what I was like at opening day.
Let's watch the video first before we just say we're going to put it up.
All right. So
I've seen some of your... Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm giving Tim... Do I tell him what I'm giving you or do you tell what
you're getting? Well, that's what's in the middle of the screen.
All right. Yeah. Tim's getting The Cutting Edge. This is a movie that I truly love. I've watched this movie so many times. It's a great movie. It's just, it's got a hockey player. It's got a figure skater. They got to get together and they got to win the Olympics, or at least win
Are
each other's
hearts. Are
either
of those
hearts. Sports? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Tim, I think you'll like this movie.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited.
The Cutting Edge. It might have horror in it. It's got The Cutting Edge.
Wow. Yeah, maybe there's some murder. Now, maybe. I'm giving him a cute little movie called The Blob. This is not the Steve McQueen version from the 50s. This is the 1988 Matt Dillon one.
Matt Dillon, really?
Yeah. So
I remember giving these boxes of these out at when I worked at Farmore. People would become renting this one.
What's interesting is Jeff, just before this show, he said, "What's the big deal? You dig a hole and you push the blob in there and you're done, right?"
Right.
Wait until you see it.
All right.
Wait, this movie should not work. It should not work. And a lot of people, like, if you see the original Blob, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, it's a piece of Jello going around.
That's what this is going to be.
Right? You will see.
All right.
You will see. A lot of people love this movie. I like it. I have a good deal of affection for it. And I'm hoping you see what I see in this movie. But there is a chance that you'll hate it. So one of my chances.
That Brendan Fraser won a Academy Award for?
No, that's The Whale.
Oh.
That's The Whale. Blob, this is The Blob.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
The Blob, yes. My God. Every week, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch us here on Otherworldly Culture, and we hope that you'll join us each and every week.
Yes, join us, please.
With Dead on the Bases.
Oh, check us out on Twitter.
Check us out on Twitter. Where do we find you on Twitter? Do you know?
It's at deadonthebases.com. At Dead on the Bases.
At Dead on the Bases. And, of course, you can find us all over the freaking joint. We are everywhere. If you want to see the video, of course, going to YouTube is your place. But if you want to listen to us and not see Jeff's face, which a lot of people choose, they tell me this when they send me the emails, then you will want to check out Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube now does podcasts too. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? That's right. And if you're going out to our YouTube, you will find Jeff's fantastic interview with Tiffany Shepis is out there. And this week we just put out House of a Thousand Corpses, a panel that was moderated by Michael Exler from Otherworldly Culture.
The X-Man.
That's right. And let me tell you, if you've not, if you're a fan of like Casualty Friday and you haven't seen an interview with Tiffany Shepis, may I highly recommend you check out Jeff's. He had a great interview. It's fun. It's lighthearted. Lots of information that I never heard before. It's all there on the Tiffany Shepis interview from Horror Realm. That's in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yep. And I think you'll enjoy it. Hey, you know what, Jeff, though? It's time to close the crypt and call the game. Yep. We are at the end of the show. I encourage those of you that are watching live, stay tuned for our trivia after game.
Oh, that's right.
Where Jeff gets his butt handed to him.
No, I won last week.
Unless you were there, you can't really prove that.
I took a picture of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it's sports, it's a home run. If it's horror,
run home!
We're dead on the bases, and we'll see you next time.
Otherworldlyculture.com. TheBrewersRule.com. ExceptWhenItRains.com. Because then they're sissies and they go into their dugout.
At least you're not going to dugout with Craig Council. That's all I care about.
Again with the Craig Council. Yeah. When are you going to get over that?
Never.
Okay.